Let's move on and talk about good versus bad referrals. So there's a couple of reasons I wanted to talk about this. One, I think that, well, particularly this week, I've had a rash of either terrible referrals or extremely good referrals, and there's a stark difference between them. And I think one of the things I wanted to get your opinion on, Lucy, because we do slightly different roles, is how that might affect you in your day-to-day roles. But also, I just wanted to talk about why referrals might be good or bad, whether we agree on what constitutes a good versus a bad referral, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought it's just an interesting topic to get our teeth into without me ranting off on one, because I can be tended to do that. So we won't do any ranting, but I wanted to get your thought first on, your day-to-day, especially in your clinic, your private clinic. If you get referrals, how does that affect you sort of starting off with your patient, or how does that affect how things go if you get a good versus a bad referral? What do you think to that?
I think I'm someone who writes referrals rather than receives them. I know you'll probably give a bit of background about the referrals that you received that have led to this conversation, but I in my private clinic don't get any written referrals. It's generally self-referral or through insurance. In my most recent NHS job, largely self-referral as well, or it was a GP handing them a card with a number to ring on it. And in my occupational health work at the minute as well, yeah, it's a manager referral, but it's just, knee pain, and that's all you get. So I think the experience I'll be drawing on is very much past experience or NHS roles where you're still receiving GP referrals, which I'll come on to that because I have thoughts on that. But a good referral can make your job, I'm assuming, a lot easier, or a bad one can make it a lot more difficult. Give us a bit of background as to your referrals.
Yeah, so I mean, I have two job roles where this really impacts me, I think. And so my main job role is, I like you, I write a lot of referrals. I receive referrals in as well. So they're not sort of your, I wouldn't say they're necessarily a traditional referral, like a GP referral, but they are referrals from mostly from physiotherapists, but sometimes I get some GP referrals, some sort of consultant type stuff as well. And we act as case managers, so we then obviously have to deal with all of the fallout of the appointment. So whilst I don't sort of directly treat people with that job role, we manage their whole journey. So I can refer for scans and that kind of thing, or refer out to onward referrals. And what I find is there's two sort of ways a referral will be. I don't like using bad, it's not fair, is it? But a less good referral, there's two sort of ways it'll come. And the first way is when you just don't get hardly any clinical information, which is frustrating. But then the other way that I get referrals, which I would say are on the poorer side, is when you get something where the clinical reasoning is off. And you either get something where you go, well, that's, madness. I had, for example, I had a patient referred to me who they wanted to have a referral to orthopedics for plantar fasciitis. They'd had 6 weeks of physiotherapy where they'd been doing manual therapy on their sacroiliac joints. And they hadn't had any exercises, they hadn't had anything to do with the foot. And so I'm, that's, but I don't mind, I do mind that, it's annoying, but it doesn't affect me directly in what I'm necessarily going to do. But what that does is they've obviously had a conversation with the patient, or they've been through that process with the patient, and then I'm going, well, actually, you haven't had any physio yet for your fasciitis. They've done something, but it wouldn't be what I deem as actually going to have any effect on your symptoms. But they've been spending however many sessions with this other physio, building rapport, not physios, any healthcare provider, building a rapport, and then I'm speaking to them, changing their whole management plan, and they're saying, well, what do you know over this other person I've been getting to know? It makes my job very difficult, and often I'm then just forced into referring to orthopedics because they'll just go around me anyway to get that referral, which is really difficult. And then the other sort of like the lack of clinical information is, you know, someone will be referred into my service, and you know, I've got this bit of information, and then suddenly it turns out it's way more complex, and there's much more information that needs to be gained. But someone's gone through something, let's say, relatively simplistic rather than incorrect. They've gone through something simplistic, given a diagnosis, and then you need an MRI scan, is usually the outcome. And then you ask them these questions and you go, that's not quite close to that at all. It's this other, is much more likely to be this other thing, which actually you don't need an MRI scan for. You might need to refer them wherever, but you don't need an MRI scan. But I think a lot of, we have to be careful with how the public perceive an MRI scan as being very definitive and answering questions. And I don't think that's unfair to say. If you ask a lay person about an MRI scan, they think, you know, you can see pretty much anything you want to. So that makes those conversations really, really difficult. That's conversely, when you get a really good referral, which again, it doesn't necessarily bring the correct clinical diagnosis. And I'd be, you know, really tooting my own horn if I said I got the right clinical diagnosis all the time. And different set of eyes means different thing. But you know, if someone's shown a nice progression of clinical reasoning, so they got, you know, patient said this, then I found this, I suspect this, you can see where their line of thought is going. And then by all means, you ask more questions and you think, well, actually it could be X, Y, or Z, it could be something else. But the patient's expecting those things already because they've been through that process, and it makes your life so much easier when you get to that. And they're not surprised or pushing back against your then decision. That's where I think it makes a real, real difference to me in my role. But like you said, historically, and you can back me up on this, I'm sure, when it's more of a treatment scenario, so you're getting more of a traditional referral in from orthopedics or something, and they go, you know, you get something that just says knee pain or whatever, quads. I mean, we've all had a referral that just says the two words quad strength or something.
Yeah.
You know, it is difficult to then to build that rapport quite quickly with a patient when they don't necessarily have that starting point, if you know what I mean.
It's true. I often think, though, with GP referrals, and not that I receive many anymore, but in the past, I'd almost prefer just knee or shoulder than to see frozen shoulder, which is really common, or a diagnosis that a GP has made. You know, a GP is extremely busy, and based on 10 minutes of chat, they've said, oh yeah, it sounds like a frozen shoulder. I'd rather didn't have a stab in the dark and just give me, don't even tell them anything. Just don't tell me anything. I'll go in blind. It's fine. but it's the patient expectation, I think, that you pick up on. And what do you think is more common, a referral where you think, I don't know that the care's been great quality here, whether you've, you know, whether this is the guidelines, SIJ moves for plantar fascia, or is it more common that you see referrals where you think, I've got no idea where they come from? Like, I think the reasoning is more lacking. Which one do you see more of?
If in my Nuffield role, I'll see more of the spurious reasoning rather than the lack of information. Whereas when I do some GP triage, which is paper triage, as a forget what we call them now, like gateway service, the GP refers to the MSK service, and we triage the referrals to consultants, physio, or ESP. And some of those, like you say, are really difficult to determine what they're trying to get at. And, you know, as you said, it's GPs have essentially an impossible job. And we'll come on to this, I'm sure, in a minute. And I think the way that sometimes it's written can be quite, you don't have to write much, but the way you write it is quite telling. And, you know, I think back pain is a classic one where we've got so much complexity around back pain. Even like you said, if you just have back pain plus pins and needles in the foot, tells you so much more than I don't know, yeah, just back pain or sciatica, for example, probably would be the classic one, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Or even like disc degeneration. That right, great, okay. But yes, just tell someone they have back pain and I'm going to send you to an MSK specialist, a physio. Mm. Yes, patient expectation is difficult.
Yeah, I think it depends. And you know, I don't want to lay blame at people, and we'll come on to that in a minute, but I think it does go a long way if you can be, if your referral is not necessarily perfect, but it's, you know, appropriate, I think is the right thing. And like I said before, the reason that you refer out is because either that patient's not for you, like, you know, an orthopedics case, for example, is not for the physiotherapist. If they've got a fractured ankle, they need managing
in order
so that you're referring it elsewhere, or because you need more information that you can't attain yourself. So I get a lot of referrals to myself at Nuffield for scans, for example, or is the scan appropriate, for example. So, you know, I'm the one that's going to then make the decision at that point. Well, not every time, most of the time, I'm going to make that decision, you know, am I going to refer for MRI, etc. So I don't need people to be definitive, but just to show that clinical reasoning path, because, you know, then on my head, be it if I refer for an MRI or not, but when someone comes to you with that barn door, I need an MRI, and they don't, that is hard enough to convince someone who's got acute low back pain they don't need an MRI. I think it's one of the hardest things that we have to do without having had someone say you definitely need an MRI, because that's really hard to talk someone down from.
Yeah, and that's one of the points we were talking about, what makes a good referral, and I think I had it drummed into me as a student physio. Certainly been sat in front of the computer with a senior physio behind me, and as a student, like, this is how you write a good one. And a lot of it is you do have to provide evidence for what you're looking for. You're almost like a lawyer, aren't you? Like, this is why I suspect this, and it makes the referee's job much easier if they're reading a list of it's like a no-brainer to give this person an MRI because they've got X, Y, and Z. But you do have to lay it out. And I think sometimes we are guilty. I would be the same as a clinician. You're pushed for time. You think, oh, I know this patient. You almost presume that the other person knows as well as you do. And you miss bits out. But yeah, certainly kind of just demonstrating the evidence would make a good referral.
And I think, like, we were talking a little bit before, and I think it's difficult to know. You want to put down what you think is the most pertinent information, because you don't want to write five pages.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes what you personally think is appropriate versus what I need might not be quite spot on, and that's fine. I've got no problem with that. And that's why we do our own assessments, because we'll then go on to do the referral appropriately. But it's about, you know, picking out the most important, like you said, what is it that you're looking for? Mm. And the things that are really difficult when we get referrals, especially spinal MRIs, that kind of thing, is if it just clearly is that the person referring in doesn't know what the problem is and is assuming the MRI is then going to help with the diagnostic, with the differential diagnosis.
Yeah.
And that's not how we refer for MRIs. We refer looking for, you know, ignoring red flags for a minute. We're referring looking for, you know, let's say it's discogenic, for example, you know, is it severe enough? Has it been going on long enough? Is it severe enough that actually this thing warrants surgery? That's sort of the question that we're asking. Yeah. You know, because if it's teeny weeny, then they're not going to go in and do something surgical because they'll just make the damn thing worse. So, you know, I think that's where we all need to be on the same page as to what constitutes
what warrants. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. What warrants an MRI for referral? And, you know, we're going to get those patients with deteriorating neurological symptoms or cauda equina, you know, and it's a barn door obvious referral for an MRI. But it's the more woolly ones, and backs are the easiest ones to talk about because they, you know, we know that they don't all need MRIs to differentially diagnose, and actually the MRI can be unhelpful. So I think they're the easiest ones to talk about, but just getting that, what you think the most appropriate information is, and what, as you said, writing that story as to why we want that referral to go forwards for an MRI, really. What are we looking for specifically? And go from there. Same as you would with a knee, like a deficient ACL or,
yeah,
or whatever it is, you know, and moving forwards. But it is difficult because you've got to have quite a large... I mean, you know, there are some areas of the body I feel less confident with imaging than other areas of the body. And, you know, you do have to, sometimes it just takes a 5-minute conversation with a colleague who happens to be, you know, a bit more experienced with that area of the body than you to determine which is the right scan and learn from that scenario as well. I think is probably my advice to people referring in. And like you said, I try to... when I write my referrals, that's how I try to write them, you know, if I'm sending wherever. So we wanted to talk a little bit about barriers, didn't we?
Yeah.
To write good referrals. And we'll stay away from time because it's boring. No one's got any time. It's difficult. If you've only got 30 seconds to write a referral, it's not going to be as good as if you've got 10 minutes, is it? But
sure. It is certainly impacting. Obviously, the person reading your referral is also pushed for time. And exactly. they've got to use their time digging for more information. Loss of time.
There's time all over the place. But you had a couple of good barriers that I think are worth chatting through to why people don't write such good referrals.
Well, one of them I was just thinking about while you were talking, and it almost sounds like your role becomes, yes, a triager and a referral bouncer, but you are providing a bit of a second opinion there. And I wonder whether one of the barriers to people writing good referrals, or you receiving a good referral, is that there isn't the support of a second opinion available, a senior physio or an advanced practice physio who is you know, available to refer to. So people think, oh, I'm kind of at the end of the line here. And maybe it is a skills limit as well, as you say. Maybe they don't know about loading programs for plantar fascia for whatever reason. And so they're coming to you as an orthopedic referral when actually a second opinion would have been just as good. And then you end up giving a second opinion, but because the patient's been built up to think they're getting a scan, they need a scan, that's difficult for them to hear.
Yeah, I think that's... I get your point there. And I think whether this is an education that needs to go back to the referring clinicians as well is that because when you do IRMA training, which, you know, we have to do to be able to refer for MRIs, etc., it becomes onto your... It's like, I suppose it's no different to sort of an injection. You wouldn't send to someone for a steroid injection and just expect the patient to walk into the room, get stabbed in whatever joint with a steroid and walk out again. Like, I hope that's not happening anywhere. So people are going to do their own assessment to a degree because they need to know what they're referring for is appropriate, or correct, or is going to give you the answer that you're looking for. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do is send someone for an X-ray when an MRI is appropriate and irradiate them inappropriately. So you take on that responsibility for that image. So we have to have a lot of information. And I will ask over questions that the clinician's written in the notes. And, you know, they're yes, no answers. And I have no doubt that the clinician's asked them and written them down appropriately. But I will clarify some of them because they are necessary. Just to make sure that definitively that is the correct answer. So, you know, there is certainly a second opinion nature to it. And I think maybe framing that to the client or the patient and then framing that within the referral probably is beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And one of the other ones, were you going to say something else there?
No, I was going to say you have another really good idea.
Another one. Yes, I do. So I've been thinking about this today when we were talking about it. I think I became aware of how important a good referral is by receiving referrals and kind of going, these are important. This is interesting and this is useful. And you'd get experience of these referrals from you know, potentially a GP saying, yeah, quad strength, ultrasound needed, frozen shoulder when it wasn't. But I think you become a good referral writer when you have that extra knowledge of what it's like to be a referral receiver. And I don't know whether people necessarily receive many referrals anymore. I don't know how, if I went to see my GP and got referred to a physio, it would be self-referral. I think in the Northeast, what they're doing at the minute is online referrals and telephone referrals. So you're the patient, you're delivering a lot of the information to someone who's triaging you. So I don't know whether anyone gets a referral anymore. In my Connect role that I had in the NHS, somebody else on the phone had done my assessment, or my patients are self-referring and you start from scratch. So I don't know whether people are not receiving the referrals in order to learn from as well. I don't know. I would like to know. I'm happy to be corrected there. If anyone in the band fives or students receive any referrals from elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a really good point because it's hard, isn't it? I think once you work in somewhere like secondary care, when I was in rheumatology, for example, everybody was referred. Mm. Whereas you're right, and a number of my clients that I receive now through they come through the insurance company. So they call an administrator who then forwards them through to us, and we're starting from a blank canvas. Don't necessarily receive referrals. And I wonder whether that is something, because again, like you said, if you're receiving referrals, you can pick out that difference between what helps you and what doesn't help you.
Yeah.
And then hopefully translate that over into what you're writing. I would make the assumption that some of that comes with experience as well. Because once you've written some or received a number, you know, you can't receive 100 referrals in the first week of being a physio. So, you know, you might do, I don't know. Depends where you work, I suppose. But more you receive, the better you would then necessarily potentially become at writing them.
The greater the appreciation for a good referral as well.
Yeah, for a good referral. And I wonder how much, we mentioned time pressures, didn't we? I mean, it's an immediate time pressure, but I wonder how much people are able to go and shadow different specialties or senior conditions or what have you. And I remember when I was a junior physio, going and spending time with orthopedic surgeons and neurology and wherever, and reading through all the notes and all that kind of thing that I was able to do. And I wonder if people are afforded that period of time now. I mean, I'm not suggesting is that in the last 2 years referral rates have deteriorated. Yeah. It's just something that I've noticed happens. But I think it's good to read referrals from all manner of locations as well, and get that. What I got a lot of referrals through rheumatology or from rheumatologists, and learning the style that they write with and how GPs will write, et cetera, is quite an interesting, learning curve to go through. And it's also, I found very interesting, reading or watching experienced clinicians go through a referral and almost sort of, whether they physically highlight or they sort of mentally highlight aspects of a referral, as to what's important as well with what people have written. And I think it's a bit like there's that, you know, that your patient will tell you your diagnosis when they tell you their symptoms. I think there's a lot can be said from reading the referral appropriately as well, as to where you're going to go and what questions you're going to ask and use it to guide your assessment as well. So I think there's quite a lot of skills to be learned in that part of shadowing people. And I don't know whether people necessarily get the experience opportunities to do that. I don't know. I'd be happily corrected on that for any junior physios or seniors get the opportunity to go, and whether they did and they had that conversation about referrals. It's a very niche topic, I suppose, but it would be interesting to have any feedback from that, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely. Mm.
Cool. Any other thoughts on referrals this year? We done referrals to death.
No, I think that's all from me. I was going to have a look and see if there was any comments.
Oh, they've been flashing up, and I can see that my parents have been watching, which is nice.
So is my mum.
Yeah, exactly. Rob said that he sends you referrals, and don't forget your chocolate hobnobs.
Rob, I have a packet of chocolate hobnobs in my car for you. If you would ever be at work, I'll give you them.
It's a good job you live in the Northeast, or they'd have melted.
Oh, well, yeah, snowed today. So, yes. So, Rob, I'll get you some chocolate hobnobs.
Yeah.
Thank you for the referrals.
Yeah. So, yeah, if anybody's got any comments or any thoughts, or I'd certainly be interested in if anybody's got any ideas on, you know, how, if you were to, let's say, me or Fisty received a bad referral, how would you go about feeding that back to somebody, how to the referrer?
You know, that's a challenge, isn't it? I've never done that. I've considered it briefly in my head for a couple of seconds and then thought, oh, I haven't got time for that, which is again the time excuse. But that would be really useful, wouldn't it? And I'd love to receive feedback like that, you know.
I would as well, and I think it's hard, isn't it? Because I mean I do lots and lots of referrals, and I don't know how many Rob says passive aggressive snotty letter. That's a great idea. I don't know how many letters back I get. Admittedly, a lot of people will write to the GP rather than to myself, but I'd be very interested in what the outcome of the appointment that I referred for was, to see where, you know, to fill the holes in my clinical reasoning, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, that's a really good one. But yeah, I think especially if you've had a few referrals from the same person that aren't so good, or, you know, and it needs feeding back, I'd be really interested in what people have got to say about how you would do that. Cause you're right. I've fed back on, you know, I sent an email today saying, I actually said, you know, the referral was really good. Actually, I had no faults for the referral. There's just they were missing something out of the differential diagnosis, which I would have added in. And I just sent an email back saying, you know, next time if you get this sort of presentation, it might be worth considering this differential diagnosis. And I sent that back. But it's more difficult when it's not so good a referral to tactfully word that.
Yeah.
So if anybody's good ideas, we're all into that.
Anyone's got a template that they frequently send out.
Chuck us an email at physiomatters@choosehealth.co.uk and we'll read those and pick out some good ones for next time. Couple of plugs that we want to chuck at the end of the live stream. We've always got a good idea for that. I've lost the link like an idiot, but Pete Malieras is going to be in Manchester doing his tendinopathy course, which is going to be really good. We're hoping he will be on Physio Matters. So we're plugging his course in Manchester. I think his website's tendinopathyrehab.com, but I will pop that into the comments as well, a link to the course there. I think that'll be amazing. We should plug the Big R's conference. Head to buytickets.app/reformingmsk. buytickets.at/reformingmsk and get a ticket there. And then I've got a rheumatology course in London. That's on the NCORE website, middle of May. Sign up for that. As you can see, Andrew Cuff is watching right now. That's with him as well. Go and sit through and tolerate his talk about red flags and get to my fun stuff about rheumatology. and then away you go. So I think that'd be a really good course. Anything you want to plug, Flick? Oh, I'll plug it for you. You should. They ever FT Physio on Facebook.
At FT Physio. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Some really good. Are there patient-facing posts as much as anything, aren't
they? They are, yeah. But because a lot of my friends on Facebook are physios, I get a lot of physio feedback, which is really cool. But I suppose they are more public facing. Not even patients, but public.
Nice analogies about pain. And they're a good little read every few days. Really enjoying those. So
thank you.
Check those out as well. Follow us on social media. We're at the normal places, at TPM Podcast. I am at Physio Jack on Twitter. And that's Listy Thou on Twitter.
Yep.
Yeah, lovely. And so follow us there and send us any messages you want to. And we'll be back next month for Physio Natters 3. Cuffy just quickly says, I'll bring the jokes. Does that mean Cuffy is the joke? He's bringing himself. Anyway. So thanks for joining me, Flick, and have a good rest of the evening. And see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye, everyone. Bye.